This is Teddy Teapot with Teddy Mellencamp.
Hi, guys. Welcome to this week's Teddy Teapot. I have missed y'all so much, and I figured what better way to start than to talk all things mom. I'm bringing on a couple other moms with me. Tara Jolet, she's from Little Women, Atlanta, which is on Fridays on Lifetime. Mina Starciak, which you guys have to order her book. It's called Built Together. You can get it on Amazon. She's also on nationally acclaimed hit renovation show, Good Bones. And also Elizabeth Joy. She just had a baby in September, so she can answer a lot of those new mommy questions. So let's bring them on and get going. All right, now that we're back, we can get into all things mom life, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You had so many questions and we can't wait to answer them. So you guys, thank you so much for joining me this week.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. And I know there's a bunch of us, we're all gonna have a lot of answers, but I'm gonna just break it down by like each section of things that people ask. So I'm starting out with birth, because a lot of people had a lot of nervousness when it comes to childbirth. How many of us have recently had a baby? I'm within a year. All of us within a year? We are all crazy.
10 months? 10 months.
Okay, so Tara's 10 months. Four months?
Yeah. 5 months.
Wow. And we can all just kind of go around. For me, childbirth was like the least of the stressful of parts. It was once the baby came. So don't even worry about that part. Just go on in. What do you guys think?
I agree. I mean, having the baby is the least of my, especially with this pregnancy for me, if you knew my track record. But yeah, having the baby is definitely, the aftermath is the hardest part. And also, all three of my births were C-sections, so it was a recovery process for every single one, and every single one was so different than the other, which I'm sure as moms, you all know, no two births are the same.
For sure.
My second one, my first one was a 35 hours in C-section, and then Charlie, who's 4 months, was a scheduled C-section, which is perfect for me. I'm super type A. I'm like, I know what time I'm gonna have my baby. I walked into the OR, which is weird because you just walk in, lay down, and then you're asleep. And then, you know, well, actually I was awake. I think I thought I was asleep because the first time I was so out of it, but you know, baby out, done. So, but I don't think it's normal necessarily to not be a little bit anxious about it.
I feel like for me, because I work as a birth doula. So I had this whole plan of how I was going to have this unmedicated birth. And then after like 20 hours of excruciating labor, I got the epidural and it was like the best thing that ever happened to me. I remember just telling my husband, like, I don't get why people don't do this. Why do people not do this? This is so amazing. But I was so exhausted from labor that I felt like I couldn't even really enjoy my daughter right when she was born. It was hard for me to connect with her because I just wanted to sleep at that point. And so, I mean, you said how people are really nervous about giving birth and we're giving all these stories, probably making them more nervous, but I think to ease nerves though, talk to your doctor, just get to know your birth team, the people who are surrounding you, build that trust with them, build that relationship with them and try to educate yourself as much as possible. So then, you know, hey, if I end up getting an epidural, like this is going to happen. Or if I end up in a C-section, it's okay. At least I'm prepped and I know what's going to happen. Then it's not as scary if that is your circumstance.
Well, and I think something that I did not mention that was super important and unique to pandemic birth giving, the hospital that I was set to go to, my friends delivered a week before and told me that the nursery was closed. And I said, hell no, I'm not doing that. And I'm gonna be stuck after a C-section for 4 days with no help. So I called IU, which is another hospital, women's hospital. Sorry, no, I was at IU. I called a different one and their nursery was open. So I think being mentally prepared, whether that you're sticking with your hospital and it's closed or you're trying to find one that's open, just knowing that, because my first time baby making friends did not. And it was a really bad experience for them.
And I think also talking to your significant other and seeing
yes.
what really they're going to be when it's go time. Like, I have friends that were like, oh, my husband's rubbing my feet and like putting oils on me and like had a playlist planned. Like mine like went across the street to like go get food like three times for himself. You can't eat when you're in labor. Like there was none of that. And then like when the doctor came in to like actually deliver the baby, like we were in go time, he put on scrubs and was like, just so in the pic he looked like he was like on and popping. I was like, listen, dude, you've been on phone calls. So like talk, and I didn't like, for me, I was like, all right, I'm going to just, you know, listen to podcasts and do what I wanted to do and then tell him when I need him to step in. But I think having that conversation so you're not blindsided by how your partner may be during a delivery is important.
Also, even if you're having a C-section, like a scheduled C-section, have a birth plan. Like I went in thinking that I was going to have a one-touch spinal, which is for my type of back is much more safe. And so the needle won't ever break off with an epidural because it's in there the whole time. And it was seriously, my first pregnancy was like a scene out of Knocked Up. It was like, the doctor was like, no, you can't have that. And I was like, well, what do you mean I can't have that? And I was like, find another anesthesiologist. And I never even knew that you could. And so if the first anesthesiologist doesn't give you the answers that you want, all you have to do is really get your husband in check and say, go do that. Make this happen for me because I'm about to have this baby.
That's huge. It being your own advocate is so huge. And you'll realize the same thing when it comes to your kids. If you have a gut feeling about something, you have to say it. You have to ask. Oh, look, we have a little cutie that joined us. I know you guys
can't. She's supposed to be napping, but she's not.
Well, that even takes me to the next question, which is once you have the baby, do you do sleep schedules? How do you do it? I see that your baby is currently wearing a sleep suit, the Magic Merlin, which
yes.
it is well. I'm obsessed with it.
Yes, it is. Before you have kids, you know, I'm sure you guys all know everyone gives you so much unsolicited advice. And of all the unsolicited advice, the two that were given that I again give is the Magic Merlin sleep suit and the snoo. And 12 hours and 12 weeks, because Jack and Charlie both slept through the night, like 12 hours. Her when she was 9 weeks and Jack by the time he was 12. And that's life-saving.
Did you guys sleep train as well? I did.
I had to in order to be sane, but it didn't always work as planned.
We're currently like in the middle of it. So my daughter's like 4.5 months and she slept great as a baby. And then right around 3 months, we had like 6 weeks of hell of just like waking up 5 to 7 times a night. And it just, I didn't know what I was going to do, but it got to a point where it was like my sanity or like, cause I was getting angry. I felt like the emotion, like when she'd wake up for the third time that night and it's only 2 o'clock in the morning and I know she's going to wake up two more times. Like I could feel myself like getting angry. Cause I'm like, I'm so exhausted. I feel like a horrible mom because I'm pissed at you and you're just a baby. And I'm mad that, you know, I feel like I'm breastfeeding, so you need me. And like, why can't you just sleep? You know? So for me, I felt like those emotions coming up and feeling triggered by her waking up all the time. Cause when I sleep better, I'm a happier mom. And I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that. So we ended up doing sleep training and we're only like 2 weeks into it, but already like it's such a world of difference. Like she wakes up once a night to eat. And we're still working on the naps, which can be like a big struggle. They say like the night sleep comes first and then the naps, but I haven't tried the sleep suit yet. And I've been wanting to, so I might have to buy one of those.
Yeah. And that being said, I did not breastfeed and that makes a huge difference because the formula with Jack, I did for a little bit, which is why I think it took him longer to sleep through the night for various reasons. I mean, it doesn't stick with them as long. So for her, I think it was easier because it was formula from the get-go. Y'all are stronger women than me. I couldn't do it again.
And I think that's something that we all have, you know, we could talk about too, is like breastfeeding. And we put so much pressure on ourselves. And I've talked about this openly, but after I had my first two kids, I went and got my boobs done, not assuming that I was going to have any other kids. I never even asked the question to the doctor, like, will I be able to breastfeed after this? Cause I my first two, it was IVF and insemination. I didn't think I would naturally get pregnant on my own with my third. And then I, you know, after I had Dove, I went to breastfeed and the ducts didn't match up. There was no milk coming out. I tortured myself in the hospital having lactational specialists.
Lactation consultants.
Yeah. Like, and putting on the mega pump, like doing everything we can and just driving ourselves crazy. And all of us moms can do bed is best. Whatever, even if it's for your mental sanity, if it's because of physically something that you can or can't do, but like we put so much pressure on ourselves as moms to show up and be everything all the time. But like feeding your kid and taking care of your kid and figuring out the best way for him or her to sleep, that's pretty darn good. So like cut yourself some slack.
I'm going to have to tell my husband your story because we were told after Jack was a miracle. We were never going to get pregnant again. We'd have to use donor eggs, did a Hail Mary IUI and got her. And my husband just had his vasectomy 2 weeks ago. And you have to go back after 8 weeks to make sure it worked. And between then, they're like, use other methods if you don't want to get pregnant, which I'm sure you all can understand. Men don't typically like to do. So we haven't. And he's like, you can't get pregnant anyways. I'm like, but her. We got her. So we shall see.
I didn't even know I was pregnant until I was 10 weeks pregnant.
Oh, wow. So, I just got my boob job and my tummy tuck too. I'm like 8 weeks out.
Hold on. You have to tell us about that. Has anybody else had, so I've had my boobs done. Has anyone had any mommy makeovers? Because a lot of people are asking about those.
I feel during quarantine, I've really stayed out of any kind of doctor's office as much as I possibly can, especially being in LA County for myself. Yeah. I have a high-risk daughter, and so I've really tried to protect our family hands down in that sense. So not for me, but I do miss a good, you know, Botox and lift and whatever, but haven't had that done.
I had a job 10 years ago, so I didn't know how it would work out for me, and it did. But I think because of that too, I've already like told my husband, I'm like, when we're done having kids, I'm going to have to fix this situation because they're just like, after like having, I got a boob job when I was like 23 years old or something. And just after 10 years and my body changing and then breastfeeding and everything like that changing, I'm like, I feel like my boobs are just going to be like the implant and then my nipple down here after I'm done with all of this. So I'm like, we'll probably have to rearrange some things when we're done.
And then Mina, what was the tummy tuck like, the recovery on that?
I had my two C-sections, so it was pretty comparable, but I also had like lipo in random places. And that kind of feels like you got ran over by a truck. And then I think the hardest thing with I feel like it happened with my C-section, but also with the tummy tuck, the pain was really like the nerve pain as it was regenerating. Feels like hot lightning bolts being stabbed in you. So I got some nerve medication, Neurontin, and that helped with that a ton. But it hasn't been anything worse than I expected after having two C-sections. And my breasts haven't hurt at all other than being sensitive. Like there's like pain.
The other pain, that's nothing.
Yeah. I probably didn't feel like it's everything else hurt.
Well, I think, and you know, a lot of people ask about like getting back into shape after having kids and all that kind of stuff. And I think the biggest thing that we can remember is like, you have to remember what's mentally going to make you feel your best. And the physical stuff, that's going to change with time regardless. But first to show, like for me, it was a huge deal to like, take my kids on walks in the stroller, just move my body, get outside, you know, not, especially during the pandemic, not around people, but just move and walk once my body felt ready, because if not, you can get into like a darker place. And then if you spend your time scrolling on Instagram, looking at all of these, you know, highlight reels, you start comparing and thinking, why don't I look like that? One, we have to remember we all are completely different in general, but like, after having a baby, remember, like, it's hard, but it's going to happen. Take care of the mental first and the physical will come after is my biggest piece of advice.
What about you guys? What are your thoughts? Did you have a hard time with comparison after?
I have, for sure. I feel like it's for me. So I haven't really started like working out. I had like 1 week of, oh yeah, I'm working out. I'm doing awesome. And what I found is it's just really hard for me to balance being a mom, working, and then working out, and taking care of myself. So like, I'm like, okay, I'm having a hard time just even finding time to go do a 20 minute workout. So like, what can I do? So just trying to nourish my body with healthy foods and be as healthy as I can and getting fresh air. I live outside Chicago. We had a huge snowstorm this week. Like the week before that, it was 17 degrees outside. So it's harder for me to like, just take my daughter out that when it's like around 30 degrees or warmer, I'll bundle her up and we'll go. But, when it's so cold like this, I've found it really helpful. Just, I'm so thankful that I have family nearby. So I'll drive to my mother-in-law's, my daughter will fall asleep. I'll leave her inside and I'll go for a walk with my dog, like out back, and just like getting that fresh air, even if it's 10 minutes or whatever, has been super beneficial to me.
My first pregnancy, I gained half of my body weight. I weighed 90 pounds and I came out and I like, when I went in, I was at 145 pounds. And I thought, oh, this is normal. I'm going to totally lose it afterwards. It's going to be great. And it was horrible. It was the worst idea I ever had. And I like to this day, I have not lost all of that weight. Like I haven't seen that 90 on a scale. And for a girl that's 4'2", like I live for 90 pounds. And sometimes you just have to say, you know what, is this your new look? Working out, you're doing yoga, you're actually making that time. I'm waking up at 5 a.m. so that I can have 2 hours to myself meditating and exercising. But then I lose out in sleep and then I take it out on my kids. And, you know, it's that whole process. So what I've really discovered is that, like, there's a point where you say, I'm doing all that I can and this is my best. And right now, this is my best body and I'm happy with this mofo body.
Yeah, for sure. That's how I feel. And like, there's no, and like when people are like, how is everything so balanced? Is everything balanced for you? I'm like, no, it's never balanced. Like some weeks are crazy work weeks. Like it's just nonstop work. Some weeks I'm like, all right, I'm taking it, scaling it back. It's going to be about family. Some weeks I'm just in a bad mood. You know, like you have to know that like you are a human being and none of us are perfect. And like, we can't take ourselves too seriously. Like we got to put up, do the work, do the best that we can. But like when push comes to shove, like our kids are, as long as we're showing up and doing the best we can, it's probably as good as it's going to get for them. And they're happy. And if they're feeling love, that's what's most important. So whatever we got to do to show them love is key. Which brings me to the next portion, which is a lot of people have questions on disciplining their kids. What is, so yours, the 4-month-old, you know, you're not really there yet. I'm not really like giving Dove timeouts, but like for those of us with a little bit of older kids, what about you guys?
I have a variation of things that we've tried, and I have found bedroom timeouts without anyone else around has been the most successful. And we start with 5 minutes. And then if they do it again, it goes up to 10 minutes. And so far I haven't had to go beyond 10 minutes because all of my children, thank goodness, they yearn to be around me. I don't know why, but at least it's working. That's as far as we've gotten, but I'm having to mute myself because I can hear my kids. I don't even want to know what's going on in the next room.
I'm screaming upstairs. Yes. We have a nanny that we got super, super lucky. She actually lives with us. She's awesome. Like early childhood development teacher that didn't want to teach yet. And so she's here all the time and works like 8 to 4 usually. And even with her, it's still super hard. And Jack's just at the age, he's 2.5, where he's testing the boundaries. So like he's done timeouts maybe 3 or 4 times now and he gets pissed. But it takes about 3 minutes. And I'm like, okay, do you want to try again to help clean up? He's like, yeah, okay. And then he'll help. So that's all we've had to do so far too.
Well, mine are a little bit older, some of them. So I definitely do timeouts, but then I also do reward. So like example, if you do this for the entire week, or, you know, like they have their checklist and if they complete it all, then I'll be like, great. Then you can pick something that's $8 off of Amazon. So instead of giving them allowance, I do a reward chart for the things that I want them to do. So because I don't want to wake up every morning, make your bed, like get your stuff ready for Zoom, brush your teeth. Like I want them to check it off the list. And at the end of the week, we can look at it. And if it went well, great. If it didn't, sorry for your luck, you're not getting the Amazon. And then they're bummed when their siblings' Amazon stuff come and they're sitting there like, well, let me go kick rocks. Like my daughter's flute arrived today and my son was like, Mom? And I'm like,
I'm not above bribery. We have a whole bag of jelly beans. He gets a jelly bean whenever he does something that we ask him to.
Oh my gosh, you guys, we have to take a quick break. I lost track of time because we were laughing, but we'll come right back. Perfect. So now that we're still, let's not get off of discipline quite yet. How many of you have like kids that throw complete tantrums? Like my daughter Dove's in the phase where when you try to put her into the high chair, she screams like bloody murder. So I have to have the food already laid out so I can hold it like without it spilling over to the side. And then it's like one fell swoop to get her in, get the snack, like get the whatever it is. She's eating raspberries and then she's okay. But because she isn't using words yet, it's just like constant. Ah!
Yeah. Jax, I mean, I think it's always a toss up. People call it the terrible twos and everyone says three is the worst and he's 2.5. So he's right there in the thick of it. He has like that sensory bin with beans in it that he plays with and just chucked him everywhere. And then when I told him he needed help clean up, he threw himself on the ground in them, screaming and swimming in them and throwing them more. So definitely we have a lot of that at this stage.
And are any of you guys on potty training yet?
Yes.
I didn't want to talk about that.
Somebody's question was, how do I transition my daughter from not wetting her bed with pull-ups at night? Anybody got any brilliant advice on this?
When I wake up to breastfeed is when I also do a round of bathroom. My daughter, thank goodness, at 5, she's completely potty trained, but my son still has night issues. Yeah. And he's 4, so.
We had my niece, we had custody of my niece for a year and when she was 1.5 to 2.5. And so we did potty train her and she was way easier than Jack because as a girl, you pee on yourself, which is uncomfortable. Whereas boys just think it's funny because they have a fountain. but with her, we did like the naked boot camp for a weekend, which she hated. Like anytime she was going to go to the bathroom, she'd scream bloody murder for 2 minutes, then run to her little toilet, go to the bathroom and move on. And we just had to be aware of liquids. I don't want to like not give her water, but it was within a certain amount of time before bed. She just didn't have like water or milk or anything. And then just made her sit and try before laying her down for, you know, 15 minutes. But I think some kids are just easier than others. And Jack is not one of them. He will look at me while he's pooping and say poop and won't do anything about it.
We do the pretty underwear, the cute underwear, which is the kids get to pick out their favorite underwear. And when they are ready to wear these underwear, but with no pot, like no more mistakes, then they can get them. So we like, they picked out their like, Cruz picked out cool big boy undies and he was like so excited to wear them. And then that night it would happen. I'd be like, well, those Paw Patrols are going to have to sit it out another week, buddy. And that's how it happened. So it was, I don't know if we just got lucky, but the kids were pretty good with the potty training. Dove will probably throw me for a loop and be like, I don't care about your pretty underwear, Mom. Like, yeah. But so far we've been all right with the potty training, but sometimes it's easier when they have older siblings and they see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Getting kids to eat foods that aren't like, well, my son prefers only cheese products. How do you guys do it?
I'm the same. My children are like, my son will eat everything amazing. He eats meats and vegetables and fruits. And my daughter's like, I'll take bean and cheese bowl, please. Or I'll take a cheese taco. Or I'll take a grilled cheese. Like, aren't you constipated?
Yes, you are.
But even pizza now comes with cauliflower crust. There's ways that you can incorporate some vegetables without letting them know. And eventually, even if they're not a huge fan of it, I've noticed that if you don't give them anything else, if you don't give in.
Oh, that's what our pediatrician said. She was like, when they're hungry, they'll eat. Like, because my problem is not necessarily getting Jack to eat a certain thing. It's just to eat. He lives on milk all day. And I try to I don't want to not give him milk. Like, you don't want to not give him food. And our pediatrician's like, if that's what he wants, that's what he wants. And he's in a phase right now where he really likes breakfast sausage links. So we have a whole giant Costco bag of turkey breakfast sausage links. And that's what he eats for 3 meals a day.
I feel like there's so many, there's so much information out there. Like, I follow all of these apps that help you learn how to get your kids to eat. But then until you're in it, until you're going through it, then you're like, I've tried all these things. Like, every kid is so different. And what I've heard, I have no experience in, is just keep offering it. Like, even if they're not going to eat it, if they see it, like you were saying, Tara, like if you're, you know, just keep offering it, like you see that they eventually have a little bit or eventually try it.
Yeah, I fully agree on that too. And then I think also, if you continue putting it there, my rule is, okay, you don't have to finish it, but you have to try it. Mm-hmm. So ew, green beans, yuck, I don't want it. Okay, you don't have to eat all of it. You can eat all the other things on your plate, but I want one bite. Because I didn't do that growing up. And I had no idea I liked things until I was 30 years old. I the first time I tried sushi at 28, I was like, what? Don't make me do this.
Jack was the opposite. He would eat anything when he was little, 6 months on when he started eating solids. He would eat sushi and avocado and kale, all kinds of stuff. And then he kind of isn't, but I imagine they all go through phases like that.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Other parenting stuff that we can maybe dig into is overall moods. So if your kid is having a bad day or a rough day, do you talk to them about it? Do you kind of just let it ride? What's your parenting style?
So my daughter's the most vocal. She's 5 years old. And a big mood that she will have is not understanding, we just started letting her play video games. And contrary to most parents' feelings about playing video games, I find it to be a very great learning tool. But the best learning tool that we have given her is that she has to read a book before she gets 20 or 30 minutes on a video game. And that has been her mood. She's like, no! She does not want to read prior to playing a video game. And so we sit down and say, look, this is good. I want you to play. I'm almost in a negotiation standpoint. I want you to play this video game, but all you have to do is read this one book. That's it. And eventually we come to an agreement. But I feel like talking to your children, even if they don't understand as much as you would hope that they understand, if there's an incentive involved, they eventually get it. That's my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. And we have the same thing. My son's obsessed with playing Madden. But I think that for sure, I need to take that up. I need to do the reading. For sure. But I also know that I kind of have to embrace each kid's personality. Slate wants to do everything right all the time. She's just she's on it. And Cruz, his goal in life is to make people laugh and be the class clown. And so you don't want to take away who they are, because that's who they, but you also have to be all right, listen, we can do those things, but we also need to do these things. And I think it's really just about explaining that we don't always get what we want, that sometimes I don't get to do what I want every single day. And they start to get it, and that it is about, we got to do this to do that. So I think the reading is huge and such a good tip. Any other suggestions from y'all?
And Jack's just kind of at the age where you can explain stuff to him, like if he's upset. But, you know, sometimes I just wake up cranky and he needs a minute. He doesn't need me to talk to him about his feelings. I just annoy him. But then, like, once I can get him kind of paying attention, I'm like, I understand you're frustrated, right? And, you know, we go through that. And he's starting to understand, like, how to communicate a little bit better, other than just being mad. So we're at the beginning of that journey.
I feel like when babies are so small, like my daughter Jovi, like they're still going to have off days. And a piece of advice that somebody gave me, just even as they continue to grow, is like, as an adult, we have days where we're off. We just have days where we're grumpy. We have days where we go through stuff, and you can't expect kids to not have the same. Like, they're going to have days where they're grumpy, where they're off. And if people listening are in the beginning phases of the motherhood journey, just seeing, like, staying curious of, you're still getting to know your daughter or your son, their cues, their moods, and to figure out how to respond to those. It is hard, like, learning, you know, what they're trying to say when they can't communicate with you yet, but just kind of staying patient. And I have 12 nieces and nephews, so I've seen the big moods and the big tantrums, so I know what's coming, and I don't know if there's anything that can prepare you until you're in it, except for exactly what you guys are saying.
And I think also telling your kids about your own personal moods are huge. Like, I know there's some days, like, where if I have press and then podcasting and filming and then also all my all-in stuff, I know I'm going to be, like, a little more tense. And I feel like if I say to them, like, hey guys, mommy has a really busy work day today, I just want you to know, if I seem a little like I'm racing around or I'm stressed, it has nothing to do with you. Then they kind of know, they're like, okay. Where if I don't say anything and I'm just, like, white knuckling it, like, everything's great, my daughter will be like, you all right? And then they take it on them. So I think it is really important that, like, once they get older, that you kind of talk about things, and you talk about your goals, and you talk about your dreams, but you also talk about the days that are harder, so they understand and they don't take things personally.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And then a lot of question about nannies and help. And how much should you feel bad if you have it? Will there be a different type of relationship with you if you have one? All those type of things. What are your guys' thoughts?
I personally, with like all my stuff, I was out there with my surgery. I have a nanny. Because it's really hard to see people that look like they're doing it all. And you're like, well, shit, why can I not manage this myself? And they probably have a lot of help and just aren't as, like, outward with the information. And if they don't have it, I don't know how people survive. Like, obviously, we're all very busy women between various multiple works, kids, families. So I don't know how we wouldn't function. And we got super, super lucky with who we have, because she sees Jack and Charlie. I mean, now that we're working from home more, obviously, around them, but pre-pandemic, she spent more time with Jack in his awake period than we did. So I get that fear of, like, oh, like, he'll go to dad. He'll ask dad, then he'll ask for Hannah, and then he'll ask for mom, because I'm the tough one. So that happens, and that's fine.
We had a full-time nanny prior to the pandemic, since Penelope's day one, 5 years ago. This is the first time that we've ever not had help. And we're three kids, still working full time, still taking our kids to school. I have two children that are in school Zooms, which everybody thinks, oh, well, since you're at home, it's no big deal. It's easy. It is not easy. I don't care who says that it's easy, because you really have to pick and choose, like, what you're focusing your time on. And I totally, if you are financially able, or if you have family members, or if you have anyone that cares about your world, I totally recommend having a nanny full-time live-in. I'm all about it. However, due to the pandemic, like, with my daughter being high risk, we just have not risked it. And that's us.
I think in motherhood, there should be no shame with the decisions that you're making for you and your family and for at like hiring somebody to help out, that's awesome. Like if you're able to do that, there shouldn't be any shame around that at all.
Yeah. And I think it depends where you are in your life and what you need. I mean, with Slate, I didn't have help. I wasn't in the same place. I hadn't started my business yet. And I had, you know, I had ridden horses. So I couldn't do my current job with a newborn, you know, like it just wasn't an option. And I stayed home and I struggled with that as well. You know, like there's all different ways of kind of figuring out motherhood and figuring out what, how to show up and how to be there and how to change your, it's going to change your life. Mm-hmm. And coming to terms with that. And so then I remember when my life started, you know, I started working more and I wasn't able to do it full, to be able to be full-time mom. I remember like beating myself up over it. And then I realized I'd rather quality time than quantity time. Mm-hmm. And that is, I, you know, when you're trying to do it all, if you have the means to be able to get help or you have the family, your kids would rather be in a situation where they're in a relaxed setting than you racing them around, throwing them every, like, so you can get to every single appointment or client or whatever it may be. So if you can do it, great. And I don't judge anybody. Like I have a live-in since Dove, Maria, who we love, because when the pandemic happened, I was like, I don't want somebody coming and going.
In and out, yeah.
And so it was so, you know, so, and honestly, she's part of our family. She was like on one of our Christmas cards, like,
yeah.
And the kids love her. And we, you know, we need that help. And I think there is no shame in that. I think the biggest shame is when parents, as you guys were saying, pretend, or especially people in the public eye, give the illusion that they've done it all and it's effortless and it's this perfect, healthy balance. And that can be, you know, that can be hard for others. But I think whether, you know, you're in it or you're not in it, with a nanny or no nanny, it's still a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of love that comes at the end, but it's definitely a lot of work. All right, guys, the time went by so fast. I wish we could ask you like a million more questions because kids, they are endless. Let's have our guests share what they're working on for our listeners.
I'll start. So I just discovered TikTok and oh my Lanta, I love that thing. That is like a great channel for my brain. And you can find me at Tara_Jolet, but like the only thing that I've been doing since the pandemic started is producing more shows. And so the fun side is finding me on social media, but yeah, producing shows and find me at Tara_Jolet.
Love it. Elizabeth.
So I'm actually working on a partner guide for birth. I'm writing my first book because just with my husband being birth, we were saying like I didn't know when to tell him he was like going to get food. You know, it's hard for partners to know how to best help you during those circumstances. Yes. And even as a birth doula, like I've just noticed a lot of similar patterns at births and a lot of people not knowing what's normal. They look at you after they have a baby and their body is like convulsing and shaking. They're terrified, their partner's terrified, and I'm there to remind them, this is so normal. Your body, you have an exodus of hormones going on right now. This is normal, but your partner doesn't know that. You don't know that. And most people don't have a doula there who's telling them that. So it's just kind of a super easy to read picture book that's not like this thick partner guide that nobody wants to read, that I'm working on that hopefully will be up, out, and ready to go by the end of the year. So I'm working on that. And then I also have my podcast, Miraculous Mamas, that is just a bunch of, actually Tara Jolet, you came on my podcast last year. We bring on a bunch of moms. We bring on a lot of experts. So it's kind of like a learning platform. I'm just really passionate about educating and empowering women to be the best versions of themselves as moms.
I knew your name. I that was one of the worst podcasts I've ever done. I was literally at a water park with two kids in my arms trying to talk to you during the, it was such a nightmare. And I just remember feeling so guilty. Like I just ruined my career. And I just felt that I just helped. Like I knew your name. I was like, how do I know her?
Yeah, it was like a year and a half, maybe even 2 years ago. It was a while ago.
Yeah, it was a while.
But yeah, you can follow me at eSandoz. I post a lot of stuff there, or at Miraculous Mamas.
I actually have been working on a kid's book for the last 2 years, and it comes out on the 2nd of February. So yeah, it's very exciting. It's called Built Together, and my family is all kinds of hodgepodge and furthest from like your mom, dad, 2.5 kids. So it's kind of just a fun play on that. You build your family like you build a house, and just fun because it makes it like from a young age, you get to see something different because there's so many different kinds of families now. So it's out on the 2nd, which is very exciting. We opened our store in Indy, Two Chicks District Co. It's been open for about 6 months and online, which is exciting. Gonna start filming season 7 here, hopefully in a couple months for Good Bones. So staying busy.
I love it, you guys. Thank you so much. And for you guys listening, make sure that you send in any questions that you have for us on Teddy Teapot, and we'll make sure to answer them for you. Thank you guys for tuning in, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening. Subscribe to Teddy Teapot on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.